Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., 2014's number one overall pick. I'm going to say it as often as I can today in the WNBA draft. The Connecticut Sun, Jhené Egbuamike, with us here. Does it ever like get old hearing that? I can't imagine it does, right?
It doesn't. I get like embarrassed because like it's, I don't know, I'm weird. But yes, it never gets old. I love it.
It has got to be nice. Like I'm even more interested because rare is the household. It really is like you and the Mannings that have to deal with number one overall picks chilling in the same house with each other at like Thanksgiving dinner. Like, did that ever get competitive? I know you and NECA were teammates for so long, but did that ever become competition, especially when you guys were on different teams in the league for a while?
Never competition, more just straight embarrassment when I'd go home and we'd finally see each other at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And it's like, oh yeah, like let's replay the game where you guys played against each other for the first time or the second time or the third time. We got our butts whooped multiple times, so I was on the wrong side. But then, you know, a couple years later, I was able to, you know, affect revenge. And then I just decided it's better to just join her.
I can say you guys did such a good job being teammates before. Why not do it again playing professional sports?
Yes.
Which is an incredible thing to get to say. So we're going to keep celebrating that all day as we get ready for the 2020 NBA draft coming up here tonight, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Coverage of the NBA draft begins at 7:30 on most ESPN radio stations, the ESPN app. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is going to join our team of Mark Kastischer, Doris Burke, LaFonso Ellis, and PJ Carlissimo, so be sure to check that out. But in the meantime, leading up to that, we've also had, like, right around bacon wrapping all of this NBA draft talk has been NBA free agency and trade rumors starting to heat up. And so, to get to the heart of the situation, or the harden of the situation, I am nothing if not shameful in pursuit of puns. We're delighted to be joined now by our ESPN NBA reporter, Tim McMahon, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Tim, you posted the piece yesterday, high-ranking Rocket sources saying, quote, "We're willing to get uncomfortable regarding training camp with their unhappy superstars in Russell Westbrook and James Harden." I'm curious, what does that look like in actuality?
Yeah, and we're going to see what their stomach is for uncomfortability. You know, how much are they willing to kind of crawl around in the mud? Because there's no question that this has gotten messy. And, you know, if we're being realistic, this is about James Harden. And Russell Westbrook is, as great as he's been, just kind of a side story here. But this is about the Rockets after 8 years of building around James Harden, after repeatedly trying to, you know, make moves to give him a chance, to give themselves a chance to win a championship, after giving him major influence in the moves that they made, such as trading for Russell Westbrook last summer and giving up a bunch of picks in the process, basically saying, okay, James, we get it. You feel like your time here has run out. You know, you don't believe that there's a chance to win a championship. And I think the Rockets are kind of transitioning from hoping they could get Harden back on board, hoping they could kind of convince him to, you know, give it another hurrah, to being realistic about the situation, saying, okay, we understand sooner or later we're going to have to trade you, but the Rockets are saying we set that timeline, we decide the destination, not you. James Harden was able to say last offseason, trade for us a Westbrook, I don't care what it takes, make this deal happen. He's not able to say trade me to Brooklyn, I don't care what it takes, make it happen, because the Rockets are like, no. No, you get to dictate terms when we're building around you, not when you're leaving us.
Ultimatums. Here with Tim McMahon, our own ESPN NBA reporter, also one of my teammates on the Hoop Collective podcast. Check that out here on Jhené Angola Jr. right now. Now, what you described, Tim, was sort of a game of tug of war happening in Houston. Which side do you really think has more leverage? Because we know at some point something likely will be done. It's going to be hard to sort of persuade a guy who has been crystal clear in that ultimatum. But which side do you think ultimately has more leverage in this?
You know, at this point, time is on the Rocket side. And by time, I mean time left on James Harden's contract, and as well as time left on Russell Westbrook's contract. Those guys, they've got 2 years plus a player option. But they have 2 years where, you know, the Rockets control their rights. And I think that up until the trade deadline, if those guys are still on the roster, in the camp, into the season, up until the trade deadline, I think that that gives the Rockets leverage. If the trade deadline passes, those guys are still on, then you go into a situation where they're in or what would be their contract years, then I think it shifts. But at this point, I think the Rockets have leverage simply because they have the time. And, you know, look, what's the worst thing that James Harden can do if he's unhappy right now? I mean, is there anything that Harden can do that would impact his value? You know, if he has a Jason Kidd in New Jersey kind of migraine, do people forget that he can score 38 points per game efficiently? No. So the Rockets, again, if they can afford to stomach what might turn into a messy soap opera, then they can afford to be patient.
It's going to be interesting to watch this timetable play out. It's been the hot rumors around the NBA, and it certainly shows no sign of slowing down. Tim, we appreciate the time and insight, as always.
Thanks,
we'll
Tim.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And that part's interesting, Chiney, because we're used to seeing in this league especially, superstars just seem to get what they want. It just seems like a matter of time. It's that slow drip before NBA teams finally wash their hands of it. But in this situation, new ownership in Tillman Fertitta, a situation that's changed rapidly in front of both these stars, I really don't see a clear path out of here unless they do finally decide it's not worth the headache.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, especially when it comes to the contract situation, it makes it even harder, and we're showing it on ESPN Plus, but over $40 million paid, and everyone's talking about how $50 million could potentially, that two-year extension after those 3 years, you're turning down $50 million. Well, he'd already, regardless, be close to that, especially if he goes into that player option in 2022. But I think big picture here is what you're seeing is that Houston's not falling for the pump fake. Okay, James Harden is used to, you know, going to the rim and getting, you know, the fouls called and figuring out a way to operate still. But right now you're seeing Houston sort of saying, hey, like, let's slow our roll here, because at the end of the day, we're not afraid of walking into a situation where you're unhappy and maybe you're sitting out of the first few days of practice. Maybe you're not. You're foregoing playing in games. That's your prerogative. But our job, you know, as an organization is to make sure we get value back, not just off the whims of what you want. Now, what James wants is very important, and to do it in a timely fashion will help everyone. But still, I think there's still time, and that's what Tim sort of described.
It's so interesting, Janae, how much the relationships in this matter, because we look at a situation like what happened with Chris Paul in Oklahoma City, where Sam Presti's been very open about trying to help their star players get to landing spots they want, which is easy if you tell management where you want to go and not the outside world. But because in this situation, and you pointed this out, that maybe these guys felt jilted as management started looking at what their situation was, what they were going to do, without necessarily consulting these guys. And then you get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving in James Harden's ear when they're working out in L.A. Like, man, it'd be cool if we all linked up. Like, is this as simple, Chiney, as the last person that talks to them maybe can influence this the right way?
I don't know if it's that simple. I think it's actually really funny now that you preface everything that way. It's just that, like, communication really matters, and also knowing exactly who you are matters. Like at OKC and in Milwaukee, these are two teams that know, all right, we know that we're probably not the most desirable place, but if we're good to people and also build within that, like, we can figure out how to position ourselves. Now OKC with like a million gazillion picks for the next 22, I mean, you know, I'm joking, but like 20, 50 million years. And then Milwaukee, they listened to their star and they delivered, knowing that, hey, we know we're in Milwaukee where, you know, the lights are going to be brighter elsewhere, and people are going to, their voices are going to get louder when it comes to talking to Giannis if we don't deliver. They understood where they stood. And I think in Houston right now, we're showing that they understand where they stand too. It's like, you are the talent, but we also have you, and we want that value back. And so I'm not mad for Houston to be flexing and saying, we're going to be patient, because the worst thing you want is to do something premature.
Well, that's going to be interesting, Chiney, because that leads us directly to where I want to go next, because the other part of this situation is Russell Westbrook, and he's certainly been floated around with the other team in New York in this situation. But where do they sit right now? What does the Knicks' future actually look like, and are they willing to sacrifice that for what Russ could bring them? We'll ask our guest next. It's Chiney Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney Engel Jr., the podcast.
Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I just got a notification from Uber Eats that went through my phone telling me that turkey is great when it's chicken. It's super random, but now it made me hungry. It's all working against me in this. I don't know. It just happened.
turkey is chicken?
I it didn't make sense to me either.
They know how to get you.
Honestly.
They know the way to your wallet.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, Janae, and I don't know, like, where you've got, well, I'd assume this is your way because I hear the doorbell literally in your house almost once a day when you're getting something delivered to you during the show, and we hear the delivery guy pop off in here. It's like, man, once you just get used to the convenience of those apps, and my mom hates me for this because she thinks it's an unnecessary spend to just not leave and go get the food yourself.
I've started to, like, leave, and that's what happened to me yesterday. Uber ate, you know, trying to do the right tenses, a chopped salad, you know, trying to be good. And then by the time I was done with work, I was like, I'm going to get some fried chicken and fries, something crispy, you know, wedge fries, the best kind.
Oh my God, don't do this again. We don't need to go down this road. I got a bunch of sweet potato fries sitting right here next to me.
Oh, those are just as good.
I just completely forgot about them, too. So we'll get to all of that in a minute here as we're derailed, as usual, by food in this. And so to help save us from ourselves, it is. It's Wednesday. It's a full halftime on this show. But unfortunately, well, fortunately for us, actually, the NBA never really takes a halftime in the action.
True.
And that's true in New York as much as anything else. We're delighted now to be joined on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by New York's very own Frank Isola. You see him on Around the Horn all the time here on ESPN. And Frank, I'm curious, before we get to the NBA portion, New York managed to give us headlines in the middle of what was otherwise a pretty slow NFL week. What do you believe, or what do you make of the altercation that supposedly went down inside the Giants building between Joe Judge and their former now offensive line coach, Mark Colombo?
But I do like the way it's being spun, and the Giants are kind of treated a little bit differently than the other teams here in New York. I mean, to me, that would come across as a little dysfunctional, especially when you're 3-7 in the worst division in football, and I get that it's Joe Judge's first job. Who knows if it got physical? Clearly, it got ugly enough for them to fire him because they were bringing in a guy to you know, serve as the consultant. They weren't bringing someone in to replace him, but clearly it got to some kind of level. Here's the thing. I believe the Giants are off this week, right? So maybe we're not going to get to the bottom of this until next week, but it's kind of as you guys know, if that were the Jets, the Mets, or the Knicks, it would be treated a little bit differently than it is in New York with the Giants.
That is a big fact. Here with Frank Isola, you see him all the time on Around the Horn right now here with us on Chanel Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, before I say anything, I have to show respect to my OG because Frank was one of the first people that put me on. I sat with him, did radio with him, and he's like, hey, maybe you should keep doing this. So are we cool now, Frank? Because you know I love you.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention that Mike Golick Jr., Notre Dame legend. Then, of course, we have Shanae Agumake, who myself and Brian Scalabrine, we turned her into a star, a megastar. And then I think, as you young kids like to say, you then ghosted me.
Ooh.
Never. You showed up one year at the All-Star game. It was you and the MVP sister of yours, Nneka Agumake. You guys sat down with us. We did the interview. We talked about your other two sisters that are going to be doctors one day. Mike, do you know what they call Shanae and her family? The
no.
underachiever Ooh. Of the household. The underachiever. One sister's an MVP, the two others are doctors. And then you have poor Shanae.
Yep, that's me right.
And then she
right
became
there.
A big star, and I can't find her anywhere. Thank you. She finally called me up today.
Okay, so I'm really bad with my phone, and I owe you a whole bunch of texts, but I want to just tell you again that I really love and appreciate you, and you're the king. And speaking of which, I want to go to H-Town, my hometown, okay?
Man.
Because, you know, I don't ever do this to people, but Frank is my man, okay? I want to go to H-Town just really quick because we might have, you know, we've had a nice work relationship. You put me on, and now it seems like my city is going to put your city potentially on in the sense that Russell Westbrook might be interested in the Knicks. How do you feel about that?
Well, I could see Westbrook, you know, and Tom Thibodeau being a pretty good match. They're both kind of driven, both kind of crazy. And I think Westbrook always would want to play in a big market like that. You know, he'll be big four times a year for Fashion Week. I think Fashion Week happens just about once every month in New York. He would be big into that. Honestly, for the Knicks, I don't think it would be the craziest thing because at some point, you do need to make some level of improvement. And with a guy like Westbrook, he's so driven. He'll play hard all the time. And at some point, if I'm the Knicks, I have to try to change my fortunes. I can't just keep finishing with 20 wins, 25 wins. I have to bring in someone that's going to, you know, put our team on a different pedestal. That's why, you know, to a certain degree, that's what Phoenix did with Chris Paul. They have a very good young team. They haven't made the playoffs for 10 years. Chris Paul has made the playoffs for 10 straight years. That's why that's such a good match. The Knicks are basically starting at ground zero. And here's the thing. Fans say this all the time. Well, we're young. Just because you're young doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get better. The Sacramento Kings haven't made the playoffs for 14 years. They were young for a lot of those times. They keep getting high draft picks. It's the same thing with the Phoenix Suns. At some point, you kind of have to make a bold move to try to get better. That's why I love what Phoenix did. And if the Knicks went after Russell Westbrook, why not?
Oh, man, I love it. Frank just courting it out here right now, saying go for it. I do envision, as you say that, like Wedding Crashers when they're on the steps. Like, you know, we're not that young anymore as they look around and survey the situation here. And, Frank, I'm curious, though, when it comes to continuing to build in other ways right now, we are on draft night here. This is Leon Rose's first draft with the Knicks. So what do you think this team's strategy should be going into tonight with or without Russell Westbrook as part of the plan in this, let's say?
Yeah, I think when you look at the roster, there just isn't a lot of talent. There is some players that are interesting. Mitchell Robinson, obviously the player that they took last year, third overall, R.J. Barrett. You know, so there is a little bit of talent. But when you look at the rest of the league, the Knicks have a long way to go to make up ground. So, you know, they do have a high pick. They just acquired the 23rd pick. Could they be doing something there to maybe perhaps move up? But, you know, Tom Thibodeau and Leon Rose, I think that they have to come in there with the idea. You're not going to just mortgage the future. I understand that, but you know those guys are there to win. If you look at what Tom Thibodeau did in Chicago his first year, they won 60-plus games. I think they had the best record in the league his first year. And then if you look at Minnesota, his second year they became a playoff team. So those guys I think are going to look to turn things around really quickly, but it's about acquiring talent because if you just look at their division, now the Knicks probably caught a break, right, guys, because the schedule came out. They're only going to play the teams in their own division three times. So they only have to play Philly, Boston, Toronto, and Brooklyn four times each. I'm sorry, three times each, which would equal 12. There was this thought that when the schedule came out, maybe the league would go heavy with division opponents. Maybe you would play them 16 times or 14 times, you know, something crazy like that. I'm sorry. They would play them a total of about 24 times, which, you know, the Knicks, you could be looking at 3-21 against teams in your own division. That's because they just don't have the talent that the other teams in their division have, much less the rest of the conference.
That would be nuts.
Wild to think about already, as we're already on the precipice of that upcoming NBA season. Going to be exciting to watch. Frank Isola, we appreciate the time, sir. I hope we're all good around here. I hope you and Shanae can bury the hatchet off air on this one.
Yay!
Yes, and Shanae, just be kind to Mike, okay? Be nice to him.
There we go.
That's all I'm asking.
Been trying.
Thanks, Frank. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
The great Frank Isola, you can check him out on Around the Horn here on ESPN all the time, contributing to PTI as well. Coming up next, though, we got to look out here and look back to the rest of what's going to go on in the draft tonight. What does number one look like, and what should it look like? We'll get to all of that after this word from AT&T.
There are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G. Y'all, it keeps me connected. Literally, AT&T is a service that powers the show for me here in Los Angeles as you watch live around the nation. Now, for example, one reason you might like AT&T 5G may be because you're Usain Bolt in the 100-yard dash. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Maybe you're a bodyguard. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's secure. Or maybe you're a librarian and haven't missed a day of work in 27 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because what? It's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable. And guess what? Now it's nationwide. AT&T 5G, it is not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Shanae and Golic Jr.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've been waiting.
Yes.
We've been hoping.
Yes.
I want to scream it from the mountaintops.
Do it.
It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Shanae Agwumike right now. And it happened, guys. We got Woj bombs out here in the streets. Right here at the Worldwide Leader. The latest from Adrian Wojnarowski. Philadelphia 76ers are trading Al Horford and a first-round and a second-round pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Danny Green, sources tell ESPN.
Okay, we're supposed to be neutral, but the one time we have our guy Cliff, who is a Philly stan, and he approves of this.
Well, I want to give Cliff his due on this one because Cliff was spitting fire in this last segment. For anyone that's unfamiliar, Cliff, who works with us on this show, is one of the more inconsistent Philly fans you'll ever come across in your life, whether it comes to the Eagles, the 76ers, probably even the Flyers. I'm not sure we've gone down that road yet, but if they're good, Cliff's good, and if they're not, the energy starts to shift a little bit. So we're going to allow Cliff to come in hot on this one right now.
It's
Let
sweet
me
potatoes
live.
In his...
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Janae and Golic Jr.
What, you want to do the read now, too, Cliff? You're going to fire that animation over me? Coming in hot's brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. How are we feeling, Cliff?
Look, I didn't know who was sponsored by it. And listen, I am elated, guys. Al Horford is no longer a Philadelphia 76er, and I couldn't be more thrilled. That contract was horrific. We got rid of it. We got Danny Green back. I think we sent a couple picks over. I don't care. He's not on the Sixers anymore. I love it. I'm thrilled. I couldn't be any more happier. Shout out to Daryl Morey. Shout out to Doc Rivers. And shout out to Gritty. I'm a big Flyers fan, too, by the way.
I am weak. So basically what Cliff had just said, and I'm going to just break it down, is the reason why people in Philly might be excited about this is because Al Horford, first of all, from a basketball standpoint, they have so many people that are long, right? They have Tobias Harris. They have Al Horford. They have Joel Embiid. They have Ben Simmons. You name it. They've been trying to defend the Bucks, and they thought that was our best shot at winning, you know, a championship. But instead, they sort of struggled to manufacture offense, struggled to spread the floor. And so now by removing Al Horford, you're able to insert someone that can do that exact, plus has championship pedigree with the Raptors and with the Lakers. So he's an unproblematic dude. He's solid. He's a shooter. Even though he will admit that sometimes he struggles, he's a shooter. He provides that veteran presence. And then most importantly, that contract that he's talking about, Al Horford signed a 4-year contract worth $109 million. And this was, I believe, last summer. Now, you know, Danny Green, he's coming off of, I think he only has like one more year on his deal that could be like $15 million. So you really offset a lot of that cap by making this move, but more importantly, you offset the struggles you have on the court by spreading the floor, by having a champ come in, and he's a sniper.
So that all, Janae, I buy that perfectly and completely coming from you in all this. I understand it.
Cliff, though, right?
Danny Green took a lot of heat in the finals at certain times, and at times I thought it was a bit much. The problem is, a lot of that heat was coming from Cliff.
Mind, there's absolutely nothing to do with Danny Green. I don't care about Danny Green being a Sixer. I just care about getting rid of Al Horford. Matter of fact, if I could drive to Philly right now, I would pack his bags for him and drive him to the airport myself.
What did he do to you? Like, why are the Sixers problems?
He stunk, Trinae. He stunk. That's what he did to me. He wasn't good.
You're forgetting that these are human beings and I've been saying this over the course of multiple sports. It's not easy to play on a new team in your first year. Your girl raises her hand. That this past year I played for the Sparks. It was not easy trying to figure out things out. So I understand what it's like, especially coming to a place where the young stars are young and they have big personalities and big egos. And then you're trying to be that veteran presence, but then you're also new. So I feel like this year was tough. I think the hardest thing was just making it work on the court. You sort of overestimated what he was able to do before. And, he can stretch the floor. He can defend. Like, really? This man is a post and he's a facilitator, but you need people around him to make that work. So I feel like it's a little unfair, Clifford, that you put a lot of heat on him.
You're that kind of John, huh, Cliff?
I'm done. You know what?
Get rid of that John. That's pretty
much what Cliff is saying. Y'all privileges have been revoked from saying John. Please stop saying it. Y'all can't say it right.
I said John.
You said John. Who is John?
No, I said John.
Junior, do you know who John is?
Jen. Get rid of that John.
You're that kind of John.
Yeah, what the John, ooh, man?
But look, hey, I do think this is win-win in the situation. I mean, maybe not for Al Horford and his like championship trying to get that.
Yeah, that's probably.
He was with the Hawks, and then now he's going to a rebuild in OKC, correct? Right?
So, Janae, I'm glad you said that because the Thunder now have 3 picks inside the top 34 of this year's NBA draft.
Wait,
the one that's getting ready to come up tonight. 3 picks!
They just got
the top 34. Like, how many first-round picks do the Thunder have in the next decade? Is it, like, 18 at this point?
At this point, it's got to be, like, 19-ish. I think it was 17, and if they got 2 more, it's, like, probably 19. But, all right, this is what I love about this. The Thunder do rebuilds well. Like, they were able to have something successful in the sense that they drafted Kevin Durant, you know, through acquisition, and then you have Russell Westbrook, and then you even get James Harden. So they know what they're doing. Every couple years, they find somebody that's good. So I trust the Thunder. I just think if I'm a veteran and I'm Al Horford, like, be nice to Al Horford, Clay. Like, this stinks. You go from Boston now to Philly, both places where you could potentially win a championship, and now you're in OKC.
You forget who you're talking to.
He'll play better basketball, though.
Hey, talking about, do you forget who you're talking to? I am extremely cold-hearted. I am not a nice person.
Wow.
Sorry,
Al,
pack your bags.
Oh, my God.
At least we now know.
I'm going to say, mask fully off right now.
But wait, hold on, Cliff. I'm going to allow you to. Are you sure? Are you a nice person to me?
His mask is on.
I'm a very nice person to you, Janae.
That's what I thought.
You know
Keep
what,
that same energy, Cliff.
You mentioned, too, Al Horford going there. Lest we not forget, We thought Chris Paul was done. We left him for dead when he got to Oklahoma City. And what did he do? But go in there, slim down a little bit. I think he's like a vegan now or something. And he got himself flipped into a better situation with the Phoenix Suns. So anything is possible there. Maybe.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because you're right. He is like a vegan or beyond meat, whatever the case that is. And it does help a lot of athletes. But hey, big picture here, Al Horford now leaving the 76ers, going to OKC. Now we have Danny Green there. And I think Danny Green solves a lot of their problems. Cliff, is that cool to say?
It's very cool to say.
Okay.
Let Max Kellerman know this show has Philly at heart right now. Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agumake. By the way, as we get ready for the NBA draft tonight, we do want to hear from you. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What do you want your team to do tonight? Genuinely curious, as we have some different teams in the mix up near the top. We've talked about Golden State. Certainly all eyes are going to be on a team like Oklahoma City, certainly on the Knicks. So 888-729-3776.
Call us now.
Let us know. Mostly
Give
let us know
ring.
So Cliff will stop yelling about Al Horford.
Right.
It's getting kind of weird.
Like, be happy. You actually won. Like, I don't want to see, you know what I mean? If this is Cliff happy, I'm scared for Mad Cliff.
Honestly. And by the way, and the reason, again, if you're just joining us now, Adrian Wojnarowski, our very own ESPN NBA insider, tweeted not too long ago, the Sixers are trading Al Horford and a first round and a second round pick to the Thunder for Danny Green, sources tell ESPN. So lots to keep updated there. Reminder, turn your notifications on for Woj if you haven't already.
I'm doing it right now.
It's that time of year. We've got to be prepared. We're going to be prepared for that. We're going to be prepared for the NBA draft. But coming up next, we also got to start to take a look. We've got a great one on Thursday Night Football, a battle of some very impressive teams in the toughest division in football. But is the baton already being passed at one particular position? We'll tell you why not next. It's Chinay and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Going to talk to Nick Friedel, Doris Burke, our very own.
Go.
As she gets ready, go talk up in here. Going to be on the coverage for the NBA draft going on tonight here at ESPN. Again, that starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and the ESPN app. We'll get to all that coming up in a little bit with the draft. And we wanted to ask you, 888-729-3776, as we look forward to the NBA draft tonight, what are you looking for your team to do at this point? This is a very different draft. We hear about how talent-rich it is next year, but every draft is an opportunity for teams to find a way to improve. So let's find out. Justin in South Dakota. Justin, you're on Chinay and Golick Jr. What are you looking for your team to do tonight in the draft?
Well, I'm a diehard Bulls fan. I'm just wondering, can we opt out of 2021, stay really healthy, and have all of our guys hit the weight room?
Huh? Oh, we lost him. Hey, you know what? Hitting the weight room, never really a bad idea on this one, Chinay. It could be an idea.
Honestly, playing it safe made me laugh. It really did make me laugh. It's like, look, you know what? We know that, like, we're hearing swirlings of James Harden and Kevin Durant and Kyrie. We're good, love. Enjoy. We're going to hit the weight room. We'll come back 2021 or 2022.
We just, you know, we know there's a lot of uncertainty right now. I don't know about my travel plans with all the testing that's going on. Like, may as well just sit this one out, wait till there's a vaccine, and then you're good. And then you can go out there and maybe ball in what will then probably be Kevin Durant's East at that point, but I digress. 888-729-3776. If you want to let us know what your team should do going tonight into the NBA draft. But, Chinay, I'm curious right now as we look towards Thursday Night Football. We've talked a lot out here about the Arizona Cardinals because they're one of the teams you looked at as a side piece team. DeAndre Hopkins goes over there and has really helped elevate the game of Kyler Murray, so much so that some people are now looking at Thursday night's matchup, Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals versus Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, and saying Kyler might already be taking over some of that MVP conversation that Russ had a stranglehold on earlier in the season. Are you buying into any of this yet?
I'm not. Not yet. It's too early. And also, like, what? It's funny because sometimes when, like, the new iteration of what we loved shows up, we start thinking, like, oh, it's better and we have to give it to it now. Like, no, what Russell Wilson has been able to do has paved the way for Kyler, and Kyler is succeeding now. But I think we're prisoners of the moment a lot. Like, clearly there are things going in the direction of Kyler and, you know, the Hail Murray and all that type of stuff. But when it comes to Russ, like, he still has struggled the last few weeks, but his talent is still there. And I feel like there's still a lot of optimism because that NFC West is looking crazy. There's still a lot of room for you to go on a run, whether that's, you know, the Cardinals or the Seahawks. Like, there's still so much meat on that bone. I'm not ready to do that just yet.
No, I'm glad you said that and brought that up, Chiney, because you're right. So much of this ends up becoming, what have we seen lately in these situations? Russ being, like, everyone sees Russ all of a sudden being careless with the football and starts freaking out like it undoes everything we know about this guy already. Like, I can understand we have wild emotional swings when it comes to Daniel Jones, when it's going to come to Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and these rookie quarterbacks as we watch them get started in their career. And even with Kyler Murray at this point, who's actually probably been the most consistent of a lot of the young quarterbacks right now. Are we really going to do this with Russell bleeping Wilson at this point in time? It does seem like so much of this is just predicated on who did we see last do what. And the Seahawks losing to the Rams has a lot of people feeling some type of way. Now, the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning did talk about, in actuality, what does a win Thursday night potentially do for Kyler Murray at this point in time? Here's what these guys had to say.
If he gets out of Seattle with a W, that's three wins in the last three games, two in Seattle, one in Arizona against the Seahawks. They will now become this team that people start to say, oh, okay. All they got to do is beat up on the Rams a little bit. They may be the team in the NFC West to start taking over that division. These are moments that kick a guy up a couple notches. If he loses, forget it. If he wins, now you start to look at it and go, okay, we understand Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers is there, but this guy is doing something magical and special that's catching our attention.
Now, Janae, I don't think it can be quite that simple as if he wins, we can coronate him, and if we lose, let's pump the brakes on this. Like, Kyler Murray's great. We said before the season he was probably going to be a dark horse MVP candidate in all of this right now. But to say all of a sudden, you know what, this three-game stretch, he's got Russell Wilson right where he wants him at this point, I think it would be crazy all of a sudden to start dismissing what Russ has accomplished consistently out of pocket now.
100%. And I feel like we have to put these teams in context as well, because what Russ has to overcome on a day-to-day basis or even just a weekly basis with the lack of defense and still leaning into his strength, which is causing him to turn over the ball at a crazy clip, like, that's a lot more, in my opinion, that Russ has to overcome than Kyler, who now steps into a situation where you are gifted by my Houston Texans, one of the game-changing players in the entire landscape of the NFL, in DeAndre Hopkins, where, like, things are made easier for Kyler. Things have been made this season, it seems like, a little bit more difficult for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's been downright dreadful for them right now. I'm trying to look at, we talked to Aaron Schatz earlier from Football Outsiders. They have their statistic DVOA, which is essentially like efficiency, accounting for each specific play's success relative to that situation. And with, when it comes to rankings in DVOA, Seattle's sitting right now with the 23rd ranked defense in DVOA. Arizona up at 11 right now. That secondary has come together in a big way. Buda Baker and company on that backside finding ways to help make it more complementary. And one thing we've seen so far this season, Janae, is if you got a glaring deficiency somewhere right now, whether it's the Ravens O-line being busted up, whether it's what we've seen in Seattle defensively and Green Bay at times, the same thing, it's hard for even the best quarterbacks to exist that way.
You know what's funny? On ESPN Plus, I just saw this great graphic that we threw up where Russ has 28 total touchdowns and you know, he's passing a number of those while Kyler has a few less. But being able to see, like, Kyler also was top in the league in that echelon when it comes to running them in himself. Where do you, like, sort of give more value in this comparison? Because that's sort of where they're different.
Russell Wilson, for a long time, I said, was the best running quarterback in the NFL, the most mobile, because he did it timely fashion. He got out and he made it more of a rarity than some quarterbacks, and he was so effective at never taking big hits. Russ is almost never injured. Kyler Murray has overtaken that mantle. He is faster, he is more agile than Russell Wilson, and he might now be the best slider, another guy with a baseball background, an even higher baseball background than Russell Wilson, who goes out there and makes sure he's never taking these hits that you see some other quarterbacks take.
Very smart. The evolution in one position.
It is, and it's exciting to see. As Ryan Clark said, Kyler Murray is playing so well, I forget he's that short sometime. And that's a testament to what he's managed to accomplish out there on the basketball court. But coming up next, someone is going to hear the chimes tonight and their name called with that number one overall pick. We'll ask someone who knows a thing or two about that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr.